We believe in God, the Eternal Father.
We believe in the Bible to be the Word of God.
We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous.
We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind.
We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God.
We may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things. We hope all things. We have endured many things.
Welcome to Why I Believe. My name is Rick Starr. Today our guest is Brett Sampson, who is the Senior Communications Specialist for LDS Philanthropies and is based in Rexburg, Idaho, correct?
That's right.
Welcome to the show. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
We want to talk a little bit today about BYU Idaho and its birth and the history behind it and some of the really neat stories that are behind it. But before we do that, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about what you do. I'm sure many of our listeners don't even know that LDS Philanthropies exists or what it does. And so talk a little bit about what you do.
That is the case. I think a lot of members of the church don't know about LDS Philanthropies. We are part of the Office of the Presiding Bishopric, and we facilitate all gifts to the church beyond tithes and offerings. You asked about what I do. I am one of a few communication specialists. There are about eight of us who work on a team for LDS Philanthropies and share with people how they can help support the various entities of the church.
So the main entity that you're supporting is BYU Idaho. You're based in Rexburg.
That's my primary assignment, yeah. Mm-hmm. I share with people what's going on up at BYU Idaho and also LDS Business College.
Mm. That's got to be a very satisfying position.
It is. Every day I'm able to talk about the miracles taking place there and how people's lives are blessed.
Yeah. You know, my son went to BYU Idaho, and I was impressed with the orientation that we had there because there is a different approach to education there.
There is.
That really integrates standards and morals in a different way than I've seen in many other places. Mm-hmm. Share with our listeners what that's all about and how that came to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, from the very beginning, the charge from those who let out the establishment of what was originally called Bannock Stake Academy, one of 40 church academies around the country, the charge was to integrate the secular with the spiritual and that there would be no differentiation between them, that the gospel would be taught along with mathematics. So from the very beginning, that has been the focus, and we make no apologies at BYU Idaho about that very focus. We talk a lot about the purpose of BYU Idaho is to prepare disciple leaders. And the academics are amazing. They get an incredible academic experience, and part of that comes from what is called the BYU Idaho learning model, where students are expected to come prepared to learn and teach. And they work side by side with teachers and have opportunities to learn by teaching. And then everything involved in that experience also has to do with the Spirit and how the Spirit helps us in our learning.
Yeah, I noticed as I walked across campus, the students there just seem to have a different a feel to them. Kind of, we are different here type of feel.
The phrase that you'll hear sometimes is there's something different about this place. Uh-huh. And as visitors come, it's undeniable. And part of that comes one very obvious thing that has just been common and a tradition there is that people actually greet one another. That as you walk across campus, people smile and say hello.
Yeah. There's an interesting story there that centers around flip-flops. But the principle behind that is what is interesting and how that came to be.
I was going to say there's one story about flip-flops at BYU Idaho.
Yeah, it's a big deal there. On campus, there's a rule that you don't wear flip-flops.
Right.
Correct?
Right, that's part of the dress and grooming standards.
And my understanding was that at some point in time, then-President Bednar, who is now member of the Quorum of the Twelve, David A. Bednar, in a meeting with students, they were trying to make some decisions about how they could be different. Like you said, there's a different feel there. And one of the decisions that came about was the decision not to wear flip-flops on campus.
Yeah.
just a standard that they wanted to create that set them apart a little bit.
Sure.
A little more reverence for the university.
Well, you know, that is a visible difference. And students don't wear shorts on mm-hmm. campus either. Granted, it's cold a lot of the year in Rexburg, but we do have some nice summer months.
Yeah.
And so you walk around campus and people dress for the occasion. They dress out of respect. And the students have committed to come prepared to learn, and that's part of it. They show their respect for the educational process and for one another in the way they dress. President Kimby Clark, the current president of the university, encourages students and employees alike to dress up for devotionals on Tuesdays, for example, mm-hmm. and to aim for the upper end of the dress and grooming standards rather than pushing the lower end.
That's good. That's a really good thought.
It makes a difference in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And they just you just opened up a new building there
right.
for the devotionals. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it seats 15,000, the BYU That's Idaho
incredible.
Center. So everyone is able to gather for things like devotional or graduation. And it's really – it's been described as a very, very large chapel.
Uh-huh.
And then there's kind of a foyer area where there's some beautiful – there's a series of Carl Bloch paintings. There's a series of Minerva Tykert. Uh-huh. And then there's actually a cultural hall. And there's the equivalent of 10 basketball courts in this cultural hall.
Wow.
But it can be converted to all kinds of different sporting events and be used for humanitarian service projects or other things.
So it's a real community center.
It is. It's really a place of gathering.
Yeah.
And that's its purpose.
That's great. Well, Brett Sampson, would you talk a little bit about how BYU-Idaho came to be?
Mm-hmm.
What was the birth of BYU-Idaho?
I guess the birth was back in 1888. Mm-hmm. It was one of 40 church academies that was established around the country. And a small group of saints were sent up to southeast Idaho. And as people who are familiar with that area note, even today, it's a little bit harsh as far as the weather at times, wind and snow. And they had a really difficult time, but they settled the area as they had been instructed. And one of the first things they did was establish an academy. And at first, it was called Bannock Stake Academy, mm-hmm. which was the stake in that area. And Thomas E. Ricks was the stake president.
Hmm.
Jacob Sporey was then hired as the first principal of that school. And at that time, it included primary elementary level instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then that institution continued to grow into what was Ricks College for many, many years and is today BYU-Idaho, Brigham mm-hmm. Young University, Idaho.
And there's an interesting story about Jacob Sporey, and we're going to come to that in a minute. But mm-hmm. before we do that, there was a neat prophecy given from a wagon box back in those days.
Right.
And I know that the pioneers, like you said, it was a harsh environment.
Yeah.
And I think they were quite discouraged.
They were.
And so talk a little bit about what happened when one of the general authorities went.
Yeah, it was the wagon box prophecy, as it's come to be known. Happened approaching, I guess, 130 years ago. And Elder Wilford Woodruff at the time, he was the president of the Quorum of the Twelve, he went up to visit these discouraged saints.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even have a place to meet. And so they gathered around a wagon box, which if you can picture a hand cart, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of like that. And he just stood on the back of this. And at that time, he declared a prophecy. And in that prophecy, he said that the land would be tempered, the weather, and that it would become fertile. And you have to understand, at the time, it was sagebrush. It was mm-hmm. a desert. And that it would become fertile, that temples would dot the land, that institutions of higher education would be established. Mm-hmm. And for those saints at that time, it gave them the hope they needed to really stay where they were and to begin the establishment of what we see today.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible because now there is, of course, a temple in Rexburg.
And there's a temple in Idaho Falls.
In Idaho Falls.
And Twin Falls.
Yeah.
And there are colleges and universities in the state, certainly, and it's a land of farming.
A prophecy come true.
It is.
That's incredible. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. And today we welcome Brett Sampson, who is the Senior Communications Specialist for LDS Philanthropies. And he's based in Rexburg, Idaho. With a main responsibility to work with fundraising for BYU-Idaho. Is that the proper way to put that?
That's right, yes.
And let's turn to that a little bit. There's a unique story we were just talking about Jacob Sporey being the first principal
mm-hmm.
of what became known as Ricks College and later BYU-Idaho.
Right.
And there's an interesting story. The school has been through some tough times. It's had hills and valleys. And one of the first we'll talk a little bit about the story about Jacob Spori and how he kind of came to the rescue during one of the first difficult times of the school.
Right. It was just a couple of years after its establishment. And there was a financial crisis at the time where families weren't able to afford to pay the small fees to allow their children to get this education. Mm-hmm. And so some of the students were dropping out and some weren't able to fulfill the promise to pay that tuition. And Jacob Spori, the first principal, this was in 1890, he actually took the paperwork and took those debts on as his own. Hmm. So those students could continue to get their education. He considered it his responsibility to get the school beyond that $177 deficit. It was only $177. Mm-hmm. But he took that as his own debt. He took an extra job at the railroad and used a portion of those funds to pay down that debt and did everything possible. He took a cut in his own salary to make sure that that debt was paid.
Mm. And that $177 may seem like very little these days, but back then that was huge.
Sure.
Especially for one person to take on.
Right. He felt he was invested, and he felt it was his calling to make sure that that institution continued on. In fact, he said something at the dedication of the Bannockstake Academy, which was the precursor to what is today Brigham Young University, Idaho. And in that dedication, the small gathering of saints in 1888, living in ramshackle cabins and doing the best they could to survive, they had constructed or remodeled what was the chapel for the first ward building there. Mm-hmm. And that was really the first structure they used. But at the dedication, he said this, which is just so amazing. He said, "The seeds we are planting today will grow and become mighty oaks, and their branches will run all over the earth." Hmm. And for this small group of people, that is just an amazing, miraculous statement of faith. Mm-hmm. But it's true today.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things I noticed, just as a side note, was when I was there, seeing the diversity of students there from many different countries.
Right. There's over, I think there's about 50 countries represented by students at BYU-Idaho.
So what he said, that could be considered a prophecy too, because there's, like you said, it branches all over the earth. Yeah. Many of these students go back to their own countries and they take what they've learned.
Yeah, these students,
those areas,
they truly become prepared as disciple leaders. Mm-hmm. They become true disciples of Jesus Christ, and then they go out into the communities and the workforce and their homes, and they are leaders there, and that influence is felt. And closer to today, President Eyring, when he was on campus some years ago, he prophesied that the influence would be recognized of these students as leaders in the world.
Hmm. That's really amazing. Now, there's an interesting story going back to this, the rescue of the school by Jacob Spori. Mm-hmm. You mentioned $177 that the school was in debt. There's an interesting follow-up to that related to what you do in fundraising. Mm-hmm. Will you tell that story?
Sure. Yeah, the first time I actually remember hearing the story of Jacob Spori taking care of that $177 debt himself was as told by President Thomas S. Monson at the dedication of the Jacob Spori building. And he was talking about Jacob Spori and his goodness and dedication. And so he recounted this story. And that was in 2003 when the Spori building was dedicated. And the next year, Elder David A. Bednar was the president at BYU-Idaho at the time. In 2004, he sent a letter to thousands of alumni and friends of the university telling the story of Jacob Spori and then inviting people to give $177 that year to help support students today. And the response was amazing. And hundreds of people responded in that exact amount. Mm. And even though it hasn't really been talked about for about 7 years, people continue to give $177 each year. And President Kimby Clark this year is talking about it again. But it's been my privilege in what I do for LDS Philanthropies to talk about this $177 and talk to alumni and friends of the institution who give and hear their stories of what that means to them. That even though $177 isn't a lot per se, mm-hmm. it's a sacrifice for some still. It's certainly not going to save the university that doesn't need saving now, but students do. Mm-hmm. And that amount of money added together with the donations of so many others just bless students' lives and enable them to continue their schooling. Mm.
Can you share some of the stories that you've heard or experienced of those who have donated? And I mean, there seems to be a really strong dedication of alumni to mm-hmm. this institution.
There is.
Talk about that.
And it is primarily alumni who want to give back. They've experienced what there is at BYU-Idaho, and they want to turn around and help somebody else. I remember hearing about a young man who came from an abused background. His mm-hmm. father was actually in prison, and his mother was an alcoholic. It's an extreme example, but he came to BYU-Idaho and was offered a scholarship, mm-hmm. and it enabled him to continue his schooling there, and it changed his life. He went on a mission. He returned home and continued his schooling. He got married, and several years later, he showed up at the scholarship office with a young man. And with his arm around him, he introduced him to the folks there in the scholarship's office and said, this is me so many years ago, and he needs help. And he was there to help him. He wanted to make sure that he got the support financially that he needed to continue going to school. And that's something that I see over and over again with people who have been helped in particular. Mm-hmm. And really, I think approximately 70% of students at Brigham Young University, Idaho, receive some kind of financial support. Mm-hmm. And a good amount of that is from the contributions of so many members of the church and some not LDS, but who care about the young people of the church today. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. This isn't just a donation to a university. It seems like the way you're talking about it, it's more of an investment in individuals.
Yeah. President Gordon B. Hinckley actually called it an investment years ago mm-hmm. in the lives of these young people.
Mm. Brett, do you have any stories of how these donations, these investments, have helped individual students in their lives as they've come to this, you know, unique institution?
Sure. Yeah, they come from, as you've said, from different countries and every state in the United States mm-hmm. And so many different backgrounds. And not everybody has the ideal family background. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are many who come from really disadvantaged backgrounds and stories. And they come and they, as many of us do as we hit the college years, we discover more about ourselves. We learn and we grow. But at BYU-Idaho, there is that element of spiritual growth as well. And so they thirst for that, and they truly begin to see their divine potential. However, for some of them, it's a financial challenge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about Rexburg being a cold place. I'm aware of at least a few students who winter hits, and they don't have a winter coat. Mom and dad have given everything they could mm-hmm. to get them through the doors. And so they'll, through various ways, end up at the financial aid office. Mm-hmm. And they may be given just enough to get a warm winter's coat, which is important in Rexburg.
That's true. I've been there in the winter.
You need a coat. You know, it comes in even small amounts, that little help that gives these young men and women belief in themselves and a witness that somebody else believes in them. Sometimes people feel like if they just give a little bit, it's not going to make that much of a difference. But when it's added up, that philanthropy, that love of humankind really does affect real lives. And there's those who, you know, receive the help for coat or groceries or tuition or books for the moment. And then there are those who receive some help for scholarships that enable them to stay and have that experience.
Hmm. I'm interested to hear a little bit about your job. You know, the scriptures tell us that even things that are temporal are spiritual.
Right.
You have a temporal job. You're raising money for a university.
Right.
But you're raising money for a university that's owned by the church. And so you have a unique perspective on what is temporal and what is spiritual. I'd be interested to hear how you view your position and you know, some of the satisfactions that you get out of what you do.
Sure. Well, it's amazing to come to work each day and know that I get to tell the stories of those who give from their hearts to help other people, and then those who receive humbly and whose lives are changed, truly. I think in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, make known his wonderful works. And as a communicator, as my background is advertising, my job is to publicize and to get the word out and to talk about what's happening. And with that spiritual connection, that gospel connection, I am simply sharing with people what's happening at BYU Idaho, how lives are truly changed, how they're bettered, how they see hope, and how they will then go into the future and make a difference in the world.
Wonderful. Brett, in your position, you work with donors, you work with students. Talk a little bit about some of the stories that you may have heard from donors about their experience in donating to that institution.
Sure. I describe what I do as telling the stories of those who give willingly and generously, and then those who receive. And for a lot of donors, for a lot of people who give to help students, they come from different places and from different motivations. I am reminded of one woman who, during the Depression, she was in high school, and her uncle's family had moved into their small home. Her father had taken them in to help them. Mm-hmm. And there was a fee of some kind of $5 that she needed to pay in order to continue through high school, and she didn't have it, and she had to drop out. And so she spent the rest of her life saving and giving to help young people get an education that she was not able to get. So there are those who have been helped, who turn around and help others. There are those who wish they had been helped, who want to help others. And there are those who just recognize the good that's happening, the difference an experience at BYU Idaho makes in young people's lives, and they want to help that some way.
That's incredible. Would you share, and maybe you have a story or two on this, but some of the success stories of students who have gone on from BYU Idaho to do different beneficial things in their communities, wherever they may be, throughout the world. Do you have any interesting stories that you can share about that?
Boy, our BYU Idaho alumni are all over the world, like Jacob Spori said.
Yeah.
And doing amazing things. And I guess with regard to what we're talking about today, so many of them give in different ways within their families. And that's, you know, especially as President Clark is out and talks to people about what's happening at BYU Idaho, there's always the emphasis that they will become disciple leaders, that they'll be leaders in their homes, in their communities, in the workplace, throughout the world. And it does not discount at all the importance of being a leader in the home. And so many alumni graduate and with their education raise righteous children in Zion. And others become CEOs, and others are part of the workforce out there that are recognized for their honesty, for their integrity. Over and over again, employers will contact the university and say, send me more. I want more just like so-and-so because I've never seen anything like this. How do you do this? How do you train people to be this good?
And when you say be good, they're not just going into the workforce with skills, but they're going into the workforce with a certain moral standard that employers are looking for and want.
Well, it's the kind of things that are difficult to train people to be. They can teach skills. They can say, this is how you do this job. But if they're receiving somebody with moral integrity and a concern for what's happening in honesty in everything they do, then they want to teach skills to those kinds of graduates.
Well, Brett, if you would, as we close out today's program, by the way, thank you for being with us on Why I Believe. It's been an honor to speak with you and hear about what you do. Would you share with our listeners a little bit about how you've been affected by doing what you do, and touch on your testimony of the gospel as you share that.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, it's a unique thing to be an employee of the church and to have my profession be part of my belief. As I work with people who truly have embraced and understand what charity is, it's humbling, and I get to witness that all the time. For me, as I look at the motivations for what I do, being a part of LDS Philanthropies and seeing what's happening at BYU Idaho or LDS Business College or any of the educational institutions or humanitarian services, Perpetual Education Fund, whatever it is, seeing the goodness of Latter-day Saints throughout the world wanting to make a difference in people's lives, to help change and save lives, makes me want to be a better person. And it makes my day-to-day motivations a little more pure. I believe in what's happening at Brigham Young University, Idaho, because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to increase in intelligence and in our understanding of things above and below the earth. And certainly those academics are happening and preparing students to go throughout the world and make a difference wherever they go. But it also makes saints. It makes disciples at BYU Idaho. And as an employee associated with that institution, I get to be a part of that. I'm an employee of the church, and that's my day job. But I also, because I'm there at the university and because of my advertising and communication background, I have the opportunity to teach an advertising class. And so that's where I rub shoulders with the students, and I see how they behave in class, how they treat one another, how they respond, and how they even help one another to achieve and to succeed. And that makes me want to be a better father, a better husband, a better everything as a disciple myself.
Well, Brett Sampson, thank you so much for being with us today on Why I Believe and sharing a little bit about the work you do with LDS Philanthropies in regard to raising funds for BYU Idaho.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been great to have you. You've been listening to Why I Believe. For more information on this program and other programs on the Mormon Channel, please visit radio.lds.org. Thank you for listening and have a great day.